order. Good morning. The commission is hereby convened in open session Thursday, January 18, 2007, to consider the matter entitled Secretary of Labor versus San Juan Coal Company, docket number CENT 2004-212. Present are myself, Chairman Duffy, Commissioner Jordan, and Commissioner Young. We will start with an overview of the case presented by Sarah Stewart of the Office of General Counsel. Good morning, Sarah.
The case involves San Juan, the South Mine, which is an underground coal mine and the water flood in Mexico. The mine liberates more than 1 million cubic feet of methane per day, so it is subject to the flood inspections under Section 113.91. The mine also operates 24 hours a day, 3 overlapping shifts, and as well as in this case, the day shift is from 7 to 5, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. The afternoon shift is from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m., and the regular shift for the maintenance shift is from 2 p.m. to 8 a.m. On March 22, 2004, it should start the 5th of the mine to conduct a spot inspection. At approximately 7:30 in the morning, he arrived at the 1-2 long building, and upon arriving, observed miners pouring steel. In inspecting the long wall, Inspector Gibson observed that shields 130 through 176, which is a distance of about 230 feet, had accumulations of loose coal and coal dust on the jack legs, toes, base, and the lintenscape, if that's the length of the shield. The depth of the accumulations measured between 1/8 inch and 10 inches. Gibson was informed that mining last ceased at the end of the afternoon shift, which was about 1:10 a.m., it turns out in the record, on March 22nd. Based on his observations, Inspector Gibson issued a citation alleging an S&S and unwarrantable violation of 30 CFR Section 75.400. San Juan then challenged the citation and then proceeded to hearing. The judge affirmed the allegations in the citation that San Juan had violated the standard and that the violation was S&S, but he concluded that the violation was not unwarrantable. He found that the cited accumulations were extensive and obvious, and that no attempts had been made to clean them for approximately 6 hours. He concluded, however, that San Juan had not been placed on notice that greater efforts at compliance were necessary. And in reaching this conclusion, he found that San Juan had not been cited for a significant number of previous violations of the standard, particularly given that Section 75.400 was the most frequently cited standard in the industry. He also found that the prior citations were even less important because none of them had dealt with accumulations on the shield. He concluded that the prior discussions between San Juan and MSHA did not provide sufficient notice either because the discussions were general and did not amount to admonishments that greater efforts at compliance were necessary. Thus, the judge concluded that while the operator was highly negligent, its negligence did not rise to the level of unwarrantable failure. So he modified the 104D1 citation to a 104A citation, and he assessed a $3,000 penalty instead of the $6,300 penalty proposed by the Secretary. The Secretary filed a petition challenging the judge's unwarrantable failure finding. On review, the Secretary argues that the judge erred by discounting the operator's history of previous violations on the basis that 75.400 was frequently cited standard industry-wide, and by ignoring commission precedent, by discounting the previous violations because they had not involved the shields. The Secretary maintains that the judge further erred by discounting the inspector's previous discussions with the operator and by failing to give any weight to the degree of danger posed by the violation. San Juan responds that the operator's determination should be affirmed. It contends that it was appropriate for the judge to consider industry norms, and that the judge didn't ignore commission precedent, but merely concluded that the previous violations were not entitled to controlling weight. San Juan maintains that the Secretary disagrees merely with the weight that the judge assigned to MSHA's discussions with the operator regarding accumulations, and finally, that the commission should not consider the degree of danger issue presented by the Secretary, because the Secretary failed to present that issue before the judge. So the issue then on review is whether the judge correctly determined that San Juan's violation as Section 75.400 was not caused by the municipal authority to comply with that statute. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. The memorandum was quite well done and very helpful. That's your overview. We'll begin with Commissioner Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Sarah, for your memorandum. I agree with the conclusions reached in the decisional memorandum. I am troubled by the judge's analysis of the unwarrantability of the violation, and I believe that he did commit certain errors in his analysis, specifically his discounting of the seriousness of the violation. This discounting of the seriousness of the violation because it was the most cited standard industry-wide, whether that is discounting of the effect on that, on serving to alert the operator of a problem in that area. Also, his discounting of the history of prior violations of this standard because they did not involve shields of a long walled, and that is contrary to the Commission's cases where they held that to serve to put somebody on notice that does not need to be specifically related to the same area involved in the particular case. I also agree with the DM's analysis of the judge's failure to specifically analyze the danger posed by the violation and the operator's efforts or lack thereof in this case in abating the violation and how that should be considered in determining whether the violation was caused by the operator's unwarrantable failure. For that reason, I would vote to vacate the judge's determination that the violation was not unwarrantable, and I would remand for further analysis. And in the remand, I would instruct the judge that if he concludes that San Juan's violation was caused by an unwarrantable failure, that he should reassess the penalty and modify the citation number 4768527 from a section 104A citation to a section 104D1 citation, and also modify order number 4768528 from a section 104D1 citation to a section 104D1 order.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also appreciate your thoughtful analysis. Very helpful to the issues before us. Before this case was petitioned for review, when I was reading the judge's decision, I had kind of an O. Henry moment. I felt like the entirety of the judge's decision was drawing a line that was going to lead to an unwarrantable failure finding by the judge. And I was very surprised, frankly, to not see the unwarrantable failure imposed in this case. I think in the end, for me, the analysis, and I think I agree with my colleague, Commissioner Jordan, settles on the fact that the judge's determination of the other issues in the case don't seem to square with his conclusion on that unwarrantable failure. In particular, I believe as to the admonishments that the operator may or may not have received, first of all, I am sensitive to and on guard against the government saying one thing and then doing something else. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I think in this case, when you look at the analysis that has to be performed, you can't really separate the admonishments issue from the degree of care required and the negligence of the operator. And the judge found that the operator was, in fact, highly negligent in this context. The degree of care that's required is going to vary based on circumstances. And understand those circumstances seem to line up in favor of, as the judge himself analyzed them and presented them based on the facts that he reviewed and found, he found a high degree of danger in this case. When you add that together, it didn't seem to me that the judge fully explained the extraordinary step of finding not that the admonishments didn't carry controlling weight or carry controlling weight, but that they seemed to have that issue outweighed everything else that was presented in the case. Again, when you look at the extent of the accumulations, they had for 6 hours. It took more than 6 hours to clean these up, which would lead you to inescapably conclude that the cleanup would have had to extend it into the production shift had the inspection not intervened. And even without the production shift, the judge found, and again, these are his findings, that there were ignition sources in the mine that was subject to 139 spot inspections because of the methane liberated in the mine. When you add all these together, I think it would be very difficult for the judge to make the conclusion that he made and support it. However, I believe the judge should be the one to make that analysis, should be the one to consider, as the act and as our case precedent requires, all of the factors and to weigh those factors and to make an appropriate determination. So I agree with the recommendation that the case should be vacated and for further analysis, and also if the judge finds that there was in fact a number one failure, the penalty should be reconsidered as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. When determining whether a violation is caused by an operator's unwarrantable failure to comply with the Act or a mandatory standard, the Commission's task is not to analyze the nature of the violation itself, but to weigh the operator's conduct with respect to that violation. In the Commission's words, is that conduct so aggravated as to exhibit reckless disregard, intentional misconduct, indifference, or serious lack of reasonable care? Over the years, we've developed certain indicia of unwarrantability. And among those, among other things, they take into account the consideration of the seriousness of the violation, the operator's past history of compliance, and whether the Secretary's representative had put the operator on notice that more rigorous compliance with the given standard was required. While these factors are helpful in the overall determination of unwarrantability, in the final analysis, I believe the determination rises or falls on the level of culpability we assign to the operator with respect to the discrete violation at issue. Here, I believe the Secretary has not made her case on unwarrantable failure, so I would affirm the judge. The Secretary, throughout this proceeding, has placed most of her eggs in the basket relating to whether San Juan had been warned about compliance with the requirement to keep the longwall shields free of accumulations, often at the expense of the other indicia of unwarrantability. The judge correctly rejected that argument on the grounds that the inspector's prior discussions were general admonitions and on the strength of San Juan's record of consistent compliance. But even when I viewed the case in light of the other indicia of unwarrantability, I still side with the judge. Thus, despite my colleague's belief that the judge's analysis was not sufficiently thorough, I would not remand the case because I agree with him in result that the violation was not unwarrantable. In the judge's words, taking everything into consideration. Turning to the other indicia of unwarrantability, first history. Inspector Gibson testified that from January of 03 to March of 04, the time of the citation, he had inspected the face at the San Juan mine 2 to 3 dozen times and had never issued a citation for accumulations on the shields, nor was he aware that any other inspector had done so during that period. In general, the San Juan mine has a better-than-average history of violations, as determined by the judge. Over more than a three-year period, from January of 01 to March of 04, records show that the company had been cited 47 times for violations of 75.400. That translates to a bit more than one citation per month at a large, continuously operating mine where inspectors are present almost every day and which is subject to at least one inspection every 5 working days due to its methane liberation. With respect to Inspector Gibson's discussion with San Juan representatives about the need to keep the shields clean, I agree with the judge that these discussions were general admonishments, not specific warnings, that the mine was not meeting the requirements of 75.400. The lack of citations for accumulations on the shields bears that out. With regard to seriousness, I agree that the violation was serious, as evinced by the judge's S&S finding. And while the judge could have articulated that finding more thoroughly in his discussion of unwarrantable failure, I don't think that requires remand. The secretary did not explicitly raise that issue before the judge as part of her unwarrantable argument. More importantly, I don't believe the relative seriousness of a violation in and of itself is a controlling factor in determining unwarrantable failure. That issue is addressed in the S&S analysis. I believe that the seriousness factor comes into play in assessing the operator's response to the condition. The more serious the violation, generally, the more obvious it is, and therefore the more worthy of the operator's attention. Here the record shows that the San Juan mine took accumulations on the shield seriously. They assigned two longwall workers to clear accumulations throughout each production shift, and Miner Heaps, who had that assignment, testified that it occupied 75% of his time during a typical shift. The condition of the roof at the time of the citation was unusual in that coal was dry and brittle and tended to spill continually onto the shields, even apparently when the longwall was not necessarily in production. I believe that should be a mitigating factor. On the morning of the inspection, 75% of the shields had been cleaned by the previous production shift, and Inspector Gibson could not state that San Juan could not have intended to finish the job during the day shift. As to San Juan's knowledge of the violation, while it is true that the judge did not list this factor as part of his unwarrantable discussion, neither did the secretary raise it. I don't believe it is the role of the judge to make the secretary's case for her. Nevertheless, given San Juan's protocol for addressing accumulations on the shields, I believe it would have taken care of the problem on the day shift. In that regard, I note that the operator's cleanup plan, which I must assume was known to IMSHA, states the following. Section equipment, and I'm quoting, when in use, all face equipment, including electrical equipment, will be cleaned off during each production shift. De-energized equipment should be sprayed off with water and cleaned when necessary with the necessary tools to prevent oil and coal dust buildup. All face equipment shall be kept reasonably clean of extraneous materials. Operator compartments on face equipment shall be kept clean of all extraneous materials, including coal. I emphasize when in use and during each production shift. The cleanup plan also addresses the issue of San Juan's abatement efforts as they affect the finding of unwarrantability. Here I part company with the judge and conclude that the cleanup plan did not call for the removal of accumulations during the graveyard shift. That was the day shift's responsibility, and that shift had only come on duty 30 minutes before Inspector Gibson's arrival. In past cases, the commission has found unwarrantable failure when accumulations were allowed to go unabated for days or even weeks. Here, the fact that abatement had not commenced within the first half hour of the shift, coupled with the deployment of miners to construct the seal, a priority assignment necessary before production could begin, militates against the finding of aggravated conduct. In sum, while the judge could have been more expansive in his analysis, I believe that an examination of the circumstances surrounding the violation in their totality would support a negative finding on the unwarrantable failure issue. San Juan's efforts to address accumulations on the shields do not speak reckless disregard, intentional misconduct, indifference, or a serious lack of reasonable care. Accordingly, I would affirm the judge and result. So I guess it would be two to remand and one to affirm. Thank you very much again, Sarah.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn.
Never have to say we adjourn.
Yeah, if you don't, we'll adjourn.
Okay.